All right, you're back in the DFSR here with our MLB podcast for Wednesday, July 11th. I'm Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And we are from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. As always, not going to go through the whole spiel, but DFSR.com/MLB will get you that free three-day trial, so go check that out. Optimal lineups, members-only chat, PGA, MLB, all of the stuff you want to get started in Daily Fantasy. So go over at DFSR.com/MLB. It's all covered under one subscription package. You're all good to go. We don't section it off by sport or provider, whatever some of these other sites do. We don't like to roll like that. We have it. You get
it. We're better. We're nicer.
That's all there is to it. That's a good way to put it. Wednesday in baseball going here, we have a split slate of games in that there are four early games. I think we're going to basically just pass over those for now. If you want to go and get lineups or advice on the early 12 o'clock Eastern slate, then head over and just like I said, just go in and sign up. You can get it there, and I'll be in the chat room a little bit later talking about some of those games, so you can just kind of get your fill that way. But I think for the podcast purposes, we'll focus mostly on the evening slate of games, which look pretty interesting. Game and Coors, some really good pitchers going. I mean, we'll start with Sale here. He's really expensive, and I still think he's maybe too cheap. He's 13,000 on DraftKings, 12,600 on FanDuel. We've talked in the past about how this level of starting pitcher, there's really just no better fantasy commodity in terms of how much you pay for how consistent game to game a player is. With that in mind, I mean, I know my answer, but do you think that Sale is like still underpriced here at 12.6? It seems crazy to say that underpriced at 13,000 on DraftKings, just knowing just how much better he is. And we'll go into some of the stats in a second, but just how much better he is than, I mean, we could put DeGrom kind of close to him, but really almost anyone else on the slate.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you compare him to, say, like peak Kershaw, when Kershaw was really just cutting people up on a night-in, night-out basis, Sale's really basically on that level right now. He's up at 13 Ks per nine now after another dominant performance against Kansas City, a team that supposedly doesn't strike out. He went out there and struck out 12 Royals in six innings. He's given up just three runs in his last four starts while topping 11 Ks in each of those. Like, he is returning value basically every single night. And today in particular, there's something that I haven't seen yet this season. You know, you follow the odds more closely than I do, but he's a minus 400 favorite. Has there been many minus 400 favorites so far this year?
Not that I can remember. And if I'd known that ahead of time, I would have looked it up real quick.
That is a big number, dude, because that is that's a really right. That's basically Vegas saying if this guy goes five innings, you should bet heavily that he will get the win. And so when you tack that on too, it's those additional bonus points. I guess nothing in baseball is guaranteed, but it's looking pretty darn close to it going up against Bartolo Colon. So yeah, it's way too cheap. I mean, your guess on the cash game ownership for tonight, I think you could see over 90% on FanDuel, right?
I don't think you will, because the price just always scares people away. Like, it's an easy call, so I'm not really worried about like where my decision making is going to go, but I think the price just continues to scare people away, especially when you get a guy like DeGrom going who has some other skills. And you do have a couple other guys that you can make cases for in terms of cash game. Now, I'm not going to do it comparatively to Sale because I just think it's a mistake. But I think there are other pitchers on the slate where people can talk themselves into it. I think I'd go closer to like 70% or something like that. And it's a mistake. And by the way, when that's the case, I do believe that it makes more sense to stagger or put in like slightly more of a buy-in cash games. If you think, so Sale right now is something like, we have him 10% better than the next closest pitcher, and I mean 25%, something like that, more than the group after that, which is like McCullers and Peralta, for more money. But again, like the standard deviation on his innings, the standard deviation on his Ks is just lower than all these guys. Or excuse me, his coefficient of variation is lower than all these guys because he's just so damn consistent. It's just, this is a time where
he goes more innings than them too. I mean, the only guy that I could see making a case like on a consistency level would be DeGrom, but a lot of that's just luck-driven on the ERA this season. Like, he's basically considerably worse in terms of Ks, similar in walks, than the ERA is lower, but that's just based on a high left-on-base percentage, unsustainably high as compared to his career. I guess he's got, you could argue that maybe he has a better matchup against Philly, but I don't know. I feel like I'm grasping at straws, and I'm not convincing myself very much as I go down this path.
Yeah, no. So when you and that's the thing too. Like when you factor in this money line, and I was not able to look it up this quickly, but I want to say there was like minus 400 line, like when Kershaw played the Padres like last 2 years ago or something like that. Like I kind of remember thinking, oh my gosh, like this money line is just so crazy. When you get the intersection of his team is really good, well, first of all, they get to face Bartolo Colon. So you get the Red Sox offense against Bartolo Colon. Then you get Sale against a Texas team that's actually not, hasn't been terrible against lefty pitching this season, and have guys at the top of the lineup like Beltre, Andrews, they actually don't really strike out all that much against lefties. But then we're just talking about just a totally different animal when it comes to Sale, because the numbers are just, they're eye-popping. 13 Ks per nine. This is his second season in a row. But so he's up to 300 and almost 340 innings of 13 Ks per nine. Like that is, I mean, this again, Pete Kershaw kind of levels of just total dominance. He's actually, I don't think he's actually still the highest in WAR, but it's really close because there are a lot of other good pitchers. But yeah, I think it's pretty easy. Now, the problem we run into, one is, you know, where we want to pivot in terms of GPPs on FanDuel, because there is a point at which you don't need to play him in every lineup in tournaments. One, because you're going to have to make some sacrifices with the bats. Two, there are some other high strikeout pitchers. And then also, where to really turn with starting pitcher two on DraftKings, because at 13,000 sales, eating up a lot of your salary, and there are other good offenses in pretty nice spots here. Colorado is in one, Boston, like we said, is in one. There's a couple other teams that look like you might want to have to end up paying for them. Is there a place we can do turn for starting pitcher two? Are we going to need to completely punt the bats because we're going to need to do maybe sort of like double expensive here? I mean, what are your thoughts here? Because this, I think, this to me is the driving question of the night, is where you go in that second pitcher on DraftKings.
Sure. So I think the place I'm looking most closely, I mean, there's a lot of guys whose names you'll see that kind of feel like they could be in that slot. Like Vince Velasquez, if we could be more confident about the innings pitch, would be a perfect guy to slot right in there tonight. You know, I kind of am into Dylan Bundy, but after being a little bit dinged up and coming back and just being completely terrible on against Minnesota. And that was funny. Do you remember going into that game how we were like, the run line's too high?
Yeah.
He goes
out
there.
Yeah. Whoops.
Gives up six runs in three and a third innings. But I still think it might just wind up being Bundy. There was stuff going on in that game. I mean, his peripherals weren't good after being really good for a long stretch of time. So the injury concern is always going to be a thing. But stacking that concern up against the concerns of a lot of these other guys, and I think that might wind up being where you go anyway. The only real alternative I see, I guess, is Lance McCullers. I mean, you would have to go double expensive, and that's probably not going to feel good. And, you know, there are other cheap guys too, and I'm sure you can get us into those. But thinking about McCullers, I think is at least somewhat interesting, simply because he's not a pitcher on the level of Sale, but you're getting a lot of bang for your buck at 11,000. Like, he would be I would be happy playing him for 11,000 tonight. You know, coming off a game where he went 7 innings, 12 Ks, no walks against Chicago. You know, really, really solid 4-game stretch here where the peripherals are really coming around. Like, it's easy to sleep on McCullers after basically that 4-game stretch where he walked more than two batters every single game and struck out no more than four in June. But I think he's basically back, and I think he's a little bit underpriced as a result. But still, yeah, with all those expensive bats going today, it might just wind up being tough to get both of those guys, the big money guys, in the lineup tonight.
Yeah, so I'll rewind to Bundy real quick. So the case for Bundy is that he's very cheap. So 6,000 on DraftKings is a place where you're rarely going to find a guy that can have, let's call it a strikeout and inning stuff. He's striking out 10 per 9 right now. I'm not willing to go all the way there on that projection. I think maybe something he settles in, just based on what he's done in the past as well. I think he settles in somewhere around a strikeout and inning. You know, so I think getting that kind of strikeout ability for that price is something I'm always interested in. Obviously, he's got to face the Yankees here, and that's a big problem. He's an underdog. The wind is blowing in Camden, which helps him, but it's just the Yankees offense. So I think if you play Bundy in starting pitcher two slot, you are going to be, he will not be very highly owned. So you're going to be against whatever chalk exists. I don't know what that's going to be. I'm almost positive it will not be Bundy. So I think you'll get him, you'll get separation there. It's a little weird place to get separation because there's some pretty epic blow-up potential for him. But I do like the strikeouts really more than anybody else in that tier. I don't think it's actually particularly close in that 6,000 tier. Other guys, you know, each one of these guys on this list, and there are a lot of real pitchers today, right? There are guys who I'd be confident in at least some of their stuff, and we can roll through a couple of them real quick here, that are in the sub-10,000 range. So we mentioned Velasquez. I think one thing with Velasquez is, some teams have been good about reporting what their pitch counts are going to be. We saw this with Tanaka last night. We saw it with Kershaw, I think, the day before. Teams have been getting a little bit better about reporting around what the pitcher's pitch count is going to be. I'm hoping that's the case with Velasquez today. If we got like a full bill of health, then I think he would just be the starting pitcher too, and I'd feel fine with it. Anything short of like 90 pitches is going to be really tough at 8,200. It is encouraging that it was a forearm contusion and not like just like an actual injury, like, you know, a tear in his arm or just like a strain or something like that. But what are your thoughts here? So a couple other cheap guys, or not cheap guys, like sub 10,000 guys. So I wrote up Kenta Maeda. Kenta Maeda is 9,300. So a little bit cheaper than McCullers, you know, 1,700 cheaper there. A 1,000 less than Freddie Peralta, who, by the way, I think Freddie Peralta is a fantastic FanDuel play at 8,000. If you're trying to save up on bats, save to roster some bats, Peralta has got huge, huge strikeout of, stuff against Miami. But what are your thoughts on Maeda? The pitch counts have been something like 83, 96, 87, and he gets to face San Diego. The peripherals have been good when he's pitched, and he's made the most out of those innings pitched each time. Like, he went 7 innings in 2 of them. It doesn't seem like that's going to be the case each time. Striking out 11 per 9, the walks are kind of there as well. Is 9,300 too expensive for a guy like Maeda here against San Diego, or does that sort of fit the bill and not as expensive as some, like, not going full double expensive, but still, you know, rostering a guy in sort of the upper middle tier?
No, I don't think it's too expensive. I mean, like, as I'm weighing through in my mind the downside risk of all the different options tonight, Maeda throwing 86 pitches and only going 5 innings doesn't sound as bad. It's like, what could happen to Dylan Bundy or some of these other guys? Because say what you will about Maeda, but he is pretty darn efficient with the pitches he does get out there. And having the best possible matchup in the majors for a right-handed pitcher with the Padres. I mean, Padres lead actual... Have they done it? I don't think I've seen this combo before. I think they've done it. Come on. Oh, so close. Dead last in the majors in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitchers. 0.2% off of the highest K rate against right-handers this season. So almost the dream spot that I've never seen anyone inhabit this late in the season. But
yeah, stupid Phillies. The Phillies at 26.1%. Yeah, that's a bummer.
That's not gonna, they're going to probably distance that even further against DeGrom tonight. But yeah, going up against the Padres is really, really sweetens the deal here. And also just pitching in San Diego. I mean, that's the best. It's the best matchup in one of the best, if not the best, hitters or pitchers parks as well. So, yeah, I think Maeda's floor is probably high enough that you can roll him. And if you happen to get 4 2/3 innings because he winds up running a long count somehow, then you live with it, I think. But you're probably right. He might be the best overall option here.
And by the way, our projection on him right now, this is 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, is going to go up a little bit because the over under dropped from 7.5 to 7 equally across the board. So the runs came off equally on both sides, but that gets San Diego down to something like 3.1 something implied runs against Maeda, which will just end up boosting his projection in our system just a little bit. Not all the way to get there. Like, he's still going to be in that Carlos Carrasco range. And I think that's mostly just because of the innings. Like, it's just so hard to be bullish on Maeda's innings we've just seen this with the Dodgers time and time again. They just don't run their guys out for long stretches in pitching. They've just figured something out that they don't want to do that. It also, you can run afoul of when his turn comes up in the order as well. Like, that can just be, like, if they're coming up to hit and his spot is up and he's around 85 pitches, that's going to be the end of him. And that's another bummer too, because that's just bad luck. I've seen this happen a couple times with Dodgers pitchers where they were kind of rolling, their turn in the order came up. And I don't know if this is an analytics thing, and it might just be the smart way to go, especially if you think your bullpen is basically just as good, but just to get a better hitter and say you're only going out there for 15 more pitches at most anyway. So we'll just take the pinch hitter here. They may be a team that is onto that more than some of these other teams. So I think we're in a weird spot. We're starting pitcher two. Right now it is defaulting to some true loserish kind of guys that we're going to mention when we talk about stacks, like Dan Straley. There was another guy too that I can't remember.
Just coming like, these guys,
yeah, 5,000, which is not really probably where we want to go. Oh, the one other guy I did want to mention was Luke Weaver. Weaver is coming significantly cheaper than the rest of these guys, 7,700, a little bit more than Bundy, obviously. Good matchup against the White Sox. He has not been able to recreate the strikeout stuff that we saw from him last year. Last year, he had his first 100 innings or so, he was right around 11 Ks per 9 in his first 100 major league innings. Now he's down to 8.26. Do you get worried when you see that kind of dip? And now we're at 100 innings of 8.26 Ks per 9. So it's 100 of the 11 and 100 of just almost 3 strikeouts less. Do you get concerned when you see that kind of dip in production year over year? It strikes me as either one of two things. One, he's possibly just like slightly injured, or two, batters and other teams have sort of figured him out. Do you know, where do we want to land with a guy like this? Because he was, you know, kind of great for 2 years and then he's been just basically average this season.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't feel super enthusiastic if I were like a Cardinals fan or if Luke Weaver was on my long-term dynasty season-long team. But for the purposes of DFS at these price points, I still think even if this is the new normal and there's evidence to suggest that like maybe he just does kind of revert back to the guy he was. You don't tend to see K rates drop off for actual good pitchers very often. Like, it tends to actually go the opposite way. The pitchers figure things out more than batters do. So I'm actually not too worried about Weaver's long-term strikeout potential. I actually think he has a phenomenal matchup against the White Sox here tonight as well. The second lowest in the AL in terms of WOBA against right-handed pitching. And they have the third highest K rate overall, just 3% behind those Padres. So this really is a nice spot for Weaver as well. And I think, again, in that pitcher two slot, when you're trying to stack up strengths and weaknesses, everyone's going to have some amount of weaknesses, and I think Weaver's are pretty reasonable. I do want to say one other thing, though, before we get on to stacks. I think that tonight might be a night with just how much better a play Sale is than everybody else, and how kind of there's these obvious olive branch sort of GPP plays, like DeGrom against Philly, you know, McCullers against the Athletics. You know, there's multiple different guys on DraftKings that people will try to flirt with. I think it might just be a great night to just play Sale in GPPs. I think it's like, for my money, he's just so overwhelmingly the most likely guy to score the most fantasy points, and he's not that much more expensive than these other guys. So my GPP strategy tonight is actually going to be to play the chalk. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's interesting. And that is interesting too, when you are when you're enticed into other upside arms, that it will drive down the overall ownership rate, as opposed to like a night, like if we're getting like a 6-game slate where it's Sale and then like Ian Kennedy and guys like that, exactly. Right? Like, where it should be so obvious, no, and those guys simply have no upside. Right, you do maybe get separation on the fact that he will be lower owned than he should be relative to projection. All right, hit us up with a sponsor, and then we'll get to some of these stacks.
Right on. Let's talk about FantasyFactor.com. Fantasy Factor is a great place to go to play a season or a salary cap game formats like you're used to, but without a huge number of sharks putting in a ton of lineups in every single game. So you can go there, you can play baseball. The football product they have is really nice when that season rolls around. And then they offer a fun little challenge contest throughout the year. So they did Super Bowl squares. They did a home run derby progressive contest this year. They did a free roll for the 4th of July. You know, they're constantly trying to come up with new ways to please their customers. So head on over to fantasyfactor.com and check them out.
All right. When I was writing the picks last night, I tried to focus a little more on cheaper bats simply because I wanted to prioritize Sale. I try to do that sometimes to make it painfully clear that, like, this is the guy. Like, you know, you can sometimes write up an expensive guy and then all the expensive bats, and it's sort of being a little bit dishonest, I think, because it's simply too difficult. You really can't have both things. This is a case like that. So we do have a game in Coors where the bats are expensive. I mean, we mentioned the Red Sox. Those guys are at least at the top of the order, are going to cost. They're all in great spots here. But if we're starting off at least with cash games, wanting to make sure we get Sale in that lineup, is there a team that comes maybe cheaper across the board, or do you see this more as a one-off situation? And then we can talk about some of these tournament stacks. But where do you think we're looking in terms of just overall building of those original cash game lineups?
Yeah, so I think right now, as I'm looking at things, it's a lot of kind of like one-offs and coming and going guys. Like, you know, we actually have multiple. The only team, let's see. Yeah, so for cash games on FanDuel right now, the only team that we have more than one of in the lineup are the Cards. And I think that makes sense. You know, they're up against, well, first of all, they have a few right-handed bats that can punish a poor lefty, and they're up against Carlos Rodon. And Rodon this season, he's not quite, I mean, he's had a really, like, kind of crazy career because he was a huge prospect with huge upside stuff, kind of flashed that. And since then, it's just basically regressed, had some injury concerns, etc. But this season, he's down to 7 Ks per 9, a career low for any stop along the way, and 3.7 walks per 9. Incidentally, also almost a career low, but not enough to make up for the difference in strikeout potential. And the other thing with Rodon this season is that he's not generating ground balls at nearly the same rate he has in the past. I think he's basically trying to overcompensate for his new lack of strikeout stuff, leaving a lot of balls up in the zone, 37% ground ball rate, and a 1.77 home run per 9. And he struggled with the long ball every time he's come up to the majors, basically. So, yeah, I think it's a really nice spot for Cardinals. But that's really the only cheap kind of cheap cash game stack that I'm seeing right now.
Yeah, so I'm with you. They're all under 3,000 on FanDuel. Ozuna has been, he was awful to start the season, has really just had an awesome June. And most of his early, you know, he was a guy that we were playing almost nightly, even through that downstretch, because we weren't really seeing anything that was to suggest that he wasn't just kind of the same hitter he had been since, you know, his Marlins days. And that ended up being correct. Now, the price is still too cheap on FanDuel at 2,800. Jose Martinez way too cheap at 2,600. These guys just frankly all seem mispriced. They were all very highly owned last night, so I suspect they're going to be high owned again. Tommy Pham is one guy to keep an eye out. He was in the lineup last night, then got scratched at the last second. and they hit DeJong second. So either one of those guys, if I mean, DeJong's probably in the lineup no matter what at shortstop, but keep an eye whether or not Pham is going to be in the lineup tonight. Basically, across the board, that would be the stack that I would go with, at least on FanDuel, simply because they're coming so cheap. Where else do you think we're looking here in some of the stacks?
Yeah, so I think if you can get away from Sale and you can, you know, find some cheap pitching, and again, it might be pretty difficult, but I don't know, maybe like Maeda, or you just figure, hey, Sale does have bad games occasionally, I'll go somewhere else. I think the Red Sox themselves going up against Bartolo Colon are in a pretty interesting spot. Again, the line is as wide a spread as I've personally seen. And Colon is just one of my favorite people to stack against because he really brings it all to the table. He doesn't strike anyone out. He doesn't walk anyone, which is actually pretty good for your upside purposes. You just assume not to get the 3 points from a walk. Like, you really do want your guys to put the ball in play. Gives up home runs at a record-breaking pace, almost 2 home runs per 9 over the course of 100 innings, which is about as high as you'll possibly see it. Doesn't generate a lot of ground balls. And again, gives up so much hard contact that the 20% home run to fly ball ratio this season isn't that far a cry from last season's already high 14.1%. So I think the Red Sox have an ideal matchup here. They're expensive. It'll mean you can't play Sale, but that might mean other people aren't going to be able to afford them either. And if you can somehow pair the two to, you know, get away from Sale and find some Red Sox, I think you'll have a lineup with a lot of upside from the bats that not a lot of people will be on.
And there are a couple cheaper bats in that lineup, and cheaper relatively speaking. If you get Brock Holt like in the 6th spot, he's sub 4,000 on DraftKings with multi-position eligibility too, which really helps. Devers is another guy, hits 7th, but when you're talking about a run line this high, Devers below 3,000 on FanDuel, still easily in play, especially considering one of his...
a far cry to assume he could get 4 or even 5 at-bats with a run line that high.
Right, and his big issue is strikeouts, and that's just not an issue when you face Colon. So exactly. Whenever you reduce that expectation, I think you put yourself in a pretty good spot. So there are... Mitch Moreland actually still another guy, like the low 3,000. So I think there are a couple Red Sox bats you can even fit in. I do want to make mention of two guys here in this Coors game. Charlie Blackmon and Carlos Gonzalez are still coming. Like, Blackmon at 4,400 on FanDuel is pretty much a bargain. I know Shelby Miller has flashed some pretty huge upside in terms of K stuff this season. I'm not really willing to trust it based on his previous track records and stops. Like, this guy has been bad. He's not been... the ERA has been bad this year, but the XFIP has not been anywhere close to as bad. I do think Blackmon and even Carlos Gonzalez hitting cleanup in the low 3,000s. These guys are close to cash game plays, even if you are rostering Sale at 12-6 on FanDuel. Mostly because if you're getting some of these Cardinals bats cheap, and maybe you just throw in a punt shortstop or a punt third baseman or something like that. I think there are a couple of ways you can take lineups in terms of just getting a couple of Colorado bats. And on DraftKings, right now, we're Sale's in 100% of lineups, but so is Blackmon. And that actually is... Blackman's 100% of lineups, even when you're moving around some of the starting pitching to get it a little bit more expensive. So he's just in such a good spot. I do think that there are a couple ways you can fit Coors guys in here, even if you're rostering up the most expensive pitcher on the slate. So it is kind of one of those pricing in the middle sort of scenarios. Anyone else you're taking a look at here before we get out of here?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple other teams that have pretty good expectation. The Braves are going up against Sam Gaviglio. Gaviglio is kind of a funny one. Like, Vegas hasn't believed in him all season long. And his ERA, XFIP, like, all those things kind of paint more of a picture of a league average pitcher. The thing with Gaviglio is the guy just can't stay in the game. Like, 4 of his last 5 starts, he didn't go 5 innings or more. Even in the game, he went 7 innings. The peripherals weren't excellent. So, yeah, I think the Braves are a pretty reasonable spot here against the Blue Jays. It'll also be interesting to see who the Braves wind up pitching against the Blue Jays on the other side, too. Because right now, that pitcher's not listed on the site I'm looking at.
Oh, I think it's Fultenowicz as pitch is pitching today. I think, okay. Yes, I don't think that's a stack we're going to want to go.
He's been pretty good this year. I'm looking at.
One more team I actually want to make mention of.
But yeah, I do like the Braves, though, the other way.
One more team I want to make mention of before we get out of here is the Twins. Twins are a team who had pretty consistently high run lines. Now, it's helpful that they go about 7 guys deep that can actually hit major league pitching, and that's something that will jack up your implied run lines across the board. Let's say, this is not a great comparison, but you know, like the Mets. The Mets have 2 guys that can hit in like Nimmo and Conforto, and that's kind of it, and the rest of them are basically just bums. Now, those guys, if they were on the Twins, we'd be in a totally different situation. So some teams, you know, their implied run lines are constantly kept low because they just simply can't get around to the 1 or 2 good hitters in the lineup. The Twins are basically going 1 through 7 as pretty strong hitters, and that will kind of bring the prices up but also bring the run line up. I still think they're in a good spot. Birch Smith is making his major league debut here for the Royals. The Twins right now, I think, have the third highest implied run line of the day at 5.7. I think that's even fourth because they're behind the Red Sox and then both of the Coors games. So still a good spot because they are across the board coming cheaper than some of those Boston bats, with just about as many runs going up on the board. And they are a team that will shift their lineup around at times, like move Polanco up to the second spot. Sometimes if Maurer gets the day off, they'll move someone new into the leadoff spot. So interesting team to look at, especially when we face. Yeah. Some people make this claim like, oh my, if you ever want, you want something to just set your watch to, the team you root for never hits new pitchers well. Have you remembered that? You remember people saying
the
stuff?
Yankees, Jesus. Yeah, when I lived in New Jersey, that was just the classic. The Yankees would be putting up these like record-setting 1,000-run seasons, etc., and just like clockwork. Well, you know, Mike, we're going up against this new guy who's never pitched, who was terrible in the minors, so you know we're going to be... It's like,
well, you know what, so what Twitter has brought forth is that every team thinks this way, because I've seen people post about this from every fan base. So
take it from a Mets fan.
Exactly. Before we had, you know, you could only listen to Francesa and then these guys in New York. Now you just get to basically hear everyone's opinion, and what you realize is that every single city was talking about the same thing, was that their team could never hit young, up-and-coming pitching, and it's just one of those, don't let your eyes fully about these.
Well, it's because you sit there and you like expect that your team's going to score 10 runs because it's some guy you've never heard of, and then if they only score 4 or they chase him in the, you know, the guy manages to squeak out 6 innings only giving up 3 runs, you're just like cripplingly disappointed. Yeah.
Right. And so, and then you just let your small sample size eyes take over your actual brain and data, and you find out that that's actually not the way to think. Hopefully you get there. And we're going to try to help you get there. DFSR.com/MLB will get you started. Go and check that out. Optimal lineups for FanDuel and DraftKings. We will be back again on Friday talking more baseball. Buddy, enjoy your Chris Sale lineups.
Let's get there together.